everybody on, everyone knows that's a joke.
Oh. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Parshas Bereishis, the opening thing. So this Torah, last year I was giving a little shmooze in a yeshiva, and I got up there and I asked them, I said, what is the Torah all about? What's the Torah all about? So all different answers, plenty of different answers, and I'll be honest with you, all very, very good, and pretty much all emistic. But there was a common denominator amongst all the answers, and that was the Book of Our Commandments. It's much more than that. But the common denominator was, it was the place where we have all our mitzvos. 613 mitzvos, d'oraisa from the Torah. Every single one of them is found in the Torah. Now, if you open up the Torah, which we're doing this week for the first the new start, new cycle, again, everyone should really try to delve into it. There's, you open up the Torah, you find no commandments. In Bereishis, there's one Peru of Ru, it comes. For the whole Sefer, a fifth of the Torah, no other commandments. Not until really do we get the first commandment as a nation, until Achos Zedachem, a few parshas into Sefer Shemos. So if the book of the Torah is the book of our commandments, it's definitely a main aspect of it. Why are there no commandments in the beginning of the Torah? Right? You ever think about this? So one of the most beautiful, simple, but I believe so true answers is that the Torah is not just about what to do, but how to do it. It's not just you have to do X, Y, and Z, but how are you supposed to get that done? And how do we learn about that? From the stories of our fathers and mothers. Derech Eretz Kadma the Torah. The way you should act becomes before the halachos of the Torah. So that's what Bereishis is. So we open up Bereishis, and right away, the world, Akash Baruch Hu creates the world, and it seems to be the picture perfect place. Every single thing. How can we live without light? So God puts light in the world. How can we live without food, trees, water, all these things? God makes it perfect. And right away, and if you're a Jew, specifically, He makes it perfect. Says the Baal Turim, Bereishis, the first word in the Torah, is Gematria Yisrael Bachar Ba'amim. The Jewish people are chosen from all the nations. First word in the Torah is teaching you, if you're a Yid, you're a Jew, you're the chosen people. You don't have to look far. First word in Torah. But right after the creation, which ends in the beginning, really the end of the first Aliyah, goes a few psukim into the second Aliyah, right after there, it's downhill from there. There's sin after sin after sin. And if Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I want to get to my halachos a few minutes later, a few parshas, a whole sefer later, I need to teach you a lesson first. What's the first lesson you're going to teach? A sin? It seems a little out of place. What is going on? I think if you look carefully at what happened with Adam and Chava and with Cain and Hevel, you will find such a valuable lesson, specifically for you guys for this year, for Shana Aleph and for Shana Bet. What's going on here? So we all know the story, but let's go through a little bit of background for just a minute. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts Adam and Chava into Gan Eden. They were in utopia. It was awesome. Fantastic. It was like being locked up in yeshiva, let's say, the yeshiva bubble. So what happens is that Kadosh Baruch Hu puts them in there, and he says, you have one job. One job. Do not eat from that juicy Eitz Hadas. Just don't do it. Every other tree, everything else, go for it. But this one tree, do not eat from. And we all know the story. Chava gets convinced by the snake. She takes the fruit, takes a bite, and she says, I'm not going down by myself. Where's my husband? Adam gives it to Adam. They each eat from the Eitz Hadas. And this is known as the big sin. And if you look at a lot of Svarim, they'll explain, we're all trying to fix this one big sin. I think there's another lesson, and if I will, even more important lesson that we're trying to learn from this story. What happens? Look at the response of Adam and Chava, and you will see it by Cain and Hevel also. Listen to this idea. V'yischabeya Adam. What happens? Chadosh Baruch Hu comes, he says, Adam, Chava, what's going on? What's going on? You guys ate from the Eitz Hadas? So listen to the pasuk. V'yischabeya Adam v'yischisho mibnei Hashem Elokim b'toch Eitz Hagan. Adam and Chava are hiding in the Gan Eden. They're hiding. Hashem's looking for them after they sin. They're hiding. Why would you run? Could you hide from God? Did they have a havamina, a thought that you can hide away from God? It wasn't, I believe, it wasn't the fact that they were literally hiding, but they were scared. They wanted to avoid taking responsibility. They didn't want to say, I made a mistake. I believe that was their big sin. And I'll show you proof after proof right now. And what's the lesson for us? They said, we're going to hide. Instead of confronting HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, maybe I made this mistake. Listen to this. This is awesome. And then we're going to get to the real crux of the shmuz. Listen to this idea. What happens? Vayikra Hashem. Hashem calls out Elokim El Adam to Adam. Vayomer Lo Ayeko. Where are you? Hashem doesn't know where he is. Again, Hashem doesn't know where he is. He's hiding. He found such a good hiding spot. Hashem can't find him. The word Ayeko. Aleph Yud Chaf Hey is the same letters of the word Echa. Like what we read on Tisha B'Av, Echa. What does the word Echa mean? How? Hashem's not just asking, where are you? Hashem's asking you, how did you do this? How did you do it? And what's Adam's response? He says, you know that wife that you gave me, Chava? She convinced me. So then Hashem goes to Chava. Hashem says, Chava, how did you do this? And what does Chava say back? You know that snake? You created the snake. He convinced me. A lot of finger pointing going on. No, it was her. It was him. And that was their big mistake. Their big mistake was not simply eating from the Eitz Hadas. Their big mistake was not taking responsibility for their mistake. And why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this in Sefer Bereishis? Why would this want to be the first lesson that Hashem teaches us? More important than the mitzvahs, more important than the thing. Why is this the first lesson? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I created you. You're human. I know that. I'm the one who created you. You are going to make sins. You are going to slip up because you're human. I know that. I've created the world like that. That's not your choice. You're going to make mistakes. How you react to those mistakes are totally up to you. Their big sin was they didn't take responsibility for the mistakes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you're human. He knows it better than all of us. You think you have taivas, desires? You think it's hard for you to get up in the morning? You know who knows this more than you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's okay. We have to be honest with ourselves. What can we do and what can't we do? Fine. But when we make a mistake, let's take responsibility. And I want to make a point very clear, the most important point of the whole day, right now. This is never to get down on yourself. I don't believe in that. I don't believe on ripping on yourself and giving mush or you stink. You say it doesn't help. Success breeds success. When you say, I could do better, it's not because oh, I'm so bad. It's because realize how much potential you have. You're so good. You have so much potential. You just need to tap into it. But there's more. The story continues a little bit more. Next comes Cain and Hevel. Cain brings a carbon not accepted by God. Hevel brings a carbon accepted by God. Cain decides, I'm so jealous of my brother Hevel, I'm going to kill him. And listen to the words what Hashem says, almost identical to Adam and Chava, to teach us this lesson again. Listen to this. Vayomar Hashem el Cain. Hashem says to Cain, Ei Hevel Achicha, where's your brother? Hey, where's your brother? What's his response? Famous line, Vayomar lo yedati. I have no idea, says Cain. Hashomar Achi Anochi, am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to keep tabs on him? What Hashem want him to say? What Hashem wants to say? I made a mistake. I killed him. It's a pretty big mistake, don't get me wrong. That's what he said. The Or Chaim HaKadosh says Hashem's asking all these questions for one reason. Of course he knows all the answers. Just admit your sin. You ever driving a car? You ever doing this? You're driving a car, a guy comes zooming past you. Whoa, that guy is crazy driving. That guy's insane. And then you're driving a few more minutes and the guy in front of you is not moving at all. It's like, who's this grandma driving in front of me? Like, what? No, he doesn't know how to drive. Everyone is going too fast. Everyone's going too slow. Maybe it's you. No one ever stops to think, maybe I'm the one who's not driving normally. No one ever thinks that. It's so human nature, it's ingrained in us in a negative way to look out the window at everyone else instead of looking in the mirror in yourself. What could I do better? Again, don't get down on yourself. That's not what I'm suggesting. But maybe I could do something better. And this is not just about a sin, but about things that hold us back in life. I grew up in this neighborhood, I went to that school, I'm a good reader, I'm a bad reader, my roommate this, my... These are all possible true factors. They could be all true. And you need to deal with them. But before you do anything else, what could you do better? What could you do better? Can I work a little harder? Can I wake up, can I set my alarm, can I go to bed a little earlier? Whatever the thing you're struggling with, look at yourself first, take the responsibility. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you that way. He knows you will make mistakes. It's awesome. It's awesome knowing that. But he knows, he wants you to say, okay, I'm going to live up to those things. I'm going to take the take responsibility. Anyone have a Tanakh here by any chance?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
That's so from you. Can you pass it to me? Do you mind opening up to Mishlei Chaf Dalet by any, but you know.
Just a
Chumash.
Yeah.
So when I said Tanakh, you were just joking.
There's a
pasuk in Tanakh that I really, really want
to
share. What? Someone want to get? I'll come back to it. I'll come back to it. Someone want to get a Mishlei Perek Chaf Dalet open, and when we're there, come back to it. You got it ready? Do you mind? Pasuk Tes Zion. Very famous pasuk, but I need to read this one inside. Shkoyach, thank you so much. Oh, do you guys mind listening to this? Thanks. Kishev yipol tzadik v'kam. A tzadik falls down 7 times and gets back up. Anyone familiar with this pasuk? Very famous pasuk. Urishaim yaksluhu bira'a. And Rishaim stumble and they stay down. They stumble and they stay down. I wonder, what is the difference between the two people in this pasuk? I'm going to say the words again. I want you to pick up on it. Tzadik and Rishaim. What's a tzadik? A righteous, how many people? How many people? Singular, tzadik. Rishaim is plural. Listen to the board. Can you pass this back? Thank you. A tzadik, he falls 7 times but gets up. Rishaim, they fall and they stumble and they stay down. What's the difference? A tzadik says, I made the mistake. Therefore, he's able to get up. Rishaim in plural, it's only one guy who made the mistake. But that guy caused me and this guy caused me. So he stays down. It's plural. He's always plural. He can never take responsibility for that mistake. This is not only, I want to make this point clear, it's not only about sins. This is not only about things you did wrong, but things that you can do. Listen to this awesome story I heard last night. I apologize because I forgot who said it. I know who told me, but he quoted somebody else. Listen to the story. There's a true story of, like some of you might have done this in high school, elementary school, you take a graduation trip to a certain place. So there's this girl's school who was going to Orlando, Florida. They're taking their girls to Orlando, Florida over a long weekend. This is their class trip. So they're walking back from where they ate on Shabbos afternoon, and they're walking back to, you know, the place they're staying. And two girls kind of they're talking in the back, and they kind of lost the rest of the group. And they look up and they realize, whoa, no one's there. So they make a few turns thinking they can catch the group. I think they went this way, and they're just getting more and more lost. It's coming to the end of Shabbos, and everyone's meeting with their teachers, and they start to realize these two girls are missing. They're looking all over for them, say, where these girls go? And they realize they're really missing, around the end of Shabbos. So they call for the local help, police, Hatzalah, and the Jewish community, Baruch Hashem, is a beautiful community. All the Jews in Orlando, all three of them, are looking for people, all looking for these girls all over. And then people, they need some more Yidim. So they call over to all the New Yorkers who are staying in Florida, in Miami. And all of a sudden, hundreds of people are coming to look for these girls. Baruch Hashem, this is the nation we are. This is the nation we are. 3 o'clock in the morning, there's still no sign of them. There's a bunch of people rent a van from Boca Raton, Florida. Anyone here from Florida? Anyone here from Florida? No one from Florida? How far is Boca to Orlando? I don't know. Miami's 3 hours. It's pretty far, right? They're at 3 o'clock in the morning. Jew needs help. They rent a big van, a really big van. They send out a message. Whoever feels like they can come help 3 o'clock in the morning, it's not in the, whatever, you know, I can't expect a huge crowd. Whoever can come help, come. We're going to leave from this address. They fill up the car almost completely full. And as they're about to pull away, a car, interesting looking car, pulls up right in front of them. And they see this man, the driver, he parks the car. He's struggling to get out. And he's hopping, and they realize that it's a handicapped car. And he hops in to his wheelchair, and he starts wheeling over, and everyone starts to get really awkward in the big van. They can't take this guy. It's not a wheelchair-accessible car. What are they going to do with? How are they going to do it? And they feel awkward. The guy just came at 3 o'clock in the morning to offer whatever he can offer, his services, to drive over to Orlando to help two Jewish girls missing, and like they don't know what to say. The guy wheels over to the driver. He lowers his window. True story. He wheels over to the driver. He lowers his window, and he says, I'm here to help. And the guy musters up the confidence. He says, "That your mom is a tzaddik, but I just can't take you. It's like, I wish I could, but it's just the accessibility just doesn't work." He says, of course I know you can't take me. I've been this way my whole life, but I'm going to do whatever I could do. So I came out at 3 o'clock in the morning to show my support. You guys go get him. And he goes without them, and that group of people found these girls. The lesson is as follows. This guy got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go do whatever he could do. He had limitations like we can't even imagine, Rahman al-Litzlan. But he said, I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm going to sit in my bed at 3 o'clock in the morning when there's two Jewish girls who need me. So he got out. He did everything he could, which was in reality zero help. Zero help in reality in finding those girls. But maybe, just maybe because of that, that was all the merit that they needed to be found totally unscathed whatsoever. We can't allow outside factors to hold us back in life. Take responsibility. Say, okay, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me. I'm better at this and worse at that. So I'm gonna work on this, and I'm gonna take this and ride with whatever it is. Speak to a Rebbe to help guide you. Speak to a Rebbe. I am in no way, shape, or form. I was gonna say this at the end, but I'll jump to it now. Let me find it. That I'm no way, shape, or form suggesting that you can't ask for help. Be on your own. It's not the case. It's not the case. The Mishnah, but a good Rebbe understands this. The Mishnah in Perkei Avos says as follows. The first Mishnah in the whole Perkei Avos says, "Va'amidu tamidim harbe." I can't find it, but I'll share with you anyway. The first Mishnah in Perkei Avos says, "Va'amidu tamidim harbe." You should have a lot of talmidim. But the Tosfos Yontif points out, "Va'amidu." What does the word "amidu" mean? To stand. You should literally, the literal translation means to have a lot of talmidim, but the literal translation is to stand a lot of talmidim. What's a good Rebbe do? He doesn't do the work for you. I'm going to come to Shir and read everything for you. See you later. Go home. What are you going to get? A good Rebbe comes and he helps you. He stands you up so you can go do it by yourself. Ask Rebbeim for help, but don't want them to do it for you. You need to take the responsibility. There's a fine line between saying, do it for me and help me get it done. But that's all the difference in the world. I want to share with you guys a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah writes like this. There's a person, his name is Rabbi Elazar, or just Elazar ben Judai. He was a person, I think I shared this with some of you in the past. He was a person who they say there was not one prostitute he didn't sleep with. Not one prostitute. And he started to feel really bad about it towards the end of his life. And he wants to make a change. So what happens is the Gemara says, well, for whatever I could read right here, he says we went to the mountains. And he asked, please daven on my behalf. And they said, sorry, we can't do it. We can't do it. So what happens next? He goes to the heavens and the earth. Shkach. He goes to the heavens and the earth. And he says to them, please daven on my behalf. And they say, sorry, we have so much, I can't do it. So what happens next is he goes to the sun and the moon. And the same result. And he goes to the stars. And he calls out to heaven. They all say, we can't help you. And so this Rasha, or this person who's made big mistakes, I shouldn't call him a Rasha, this person who's made huge mistakes in his life, he calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, no one wants to help me. God, I need your help. No one wants to help me. Comes out of Baskol, a heavenly voice, and says, you are forgiven, and he earned Olam Haba in that 1 second. When he realized that it wasn't about other people, the mountains can't help you. The heavens can't. It's only reliant on yourself. And when he understood this, that was the moment that all the sins he did in his life were turned around. And the Gemara writes that he got Olam Haba right there. Listen to this shot by Rabbi Yisachar Frand. Awesome, awesome. He says that the all those things, the mountains, the heavens, the earth, all those things represent people in your life. I'm going to read you, I just copied and pasted from his sefer right here. Listen to this. Rabbi Flans explains, a new way of explaining this Gemara. The different things whom he asked to pray for to represent different influences in his life. He was trying to shift the responsibility for his behavior onto them. The mountains and hill represents his parents. He argued about his upbringing was responsible for his dire situation, but they refused to acknowledge their guilt. So he said, the mountains represent his parents. It's your fault. You guys raised me like this. He said, it's not our fault. So who did he go to next? He then turned to the heavens and the earth, who represents his environment, the camps, the schools, the communities he grew up in. And what they say, he tried to blame them for that. And they said, no, we're not going to take responsibility at all. He finally turned to the sun and the moon, which is his mazel, his traits, the way he was born, all of that, his natural inclinations. And they said, we're not going to take responsibility either. He tried to put the blame on everything else, says Rabbi Friend. That's what the Gemara says. And the idea is only when he took responsibility for himself, he looked up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself and said, it was me. I'm the one who did it. Did then everything turn around for him? What's the idea, boys? We must change our mindset. Our mindset can't be to blame, to say, I am limited. It's true. We are limited. And there are things to blame, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. He created us. Two people could be in the exact same situation, and the result is totally different. We'll end with this idea. It says in Chovas HaTamidim, a beautiful mashal, beautiful idea. It says there's two people who are completely poor. They each, let's say, have $10 in their bank account. That's it. That's all they got to their name. One of them is a great-great-great-grandchild of poor people. His whole lineage is poor. This is his lifestyle. He goes door to door. He knocks on the door. I need money. Lives day to day. He's living on the $1 menu at Mickey D's, and that's what he's doing. There's another guy who is one of the richest men in the community. Made a few bad deals. COVID came. He lost a lot of money. And that's it. And now he's in the same situation. What's the difference between these two people? One of them has tasted greatness before. One of them knows, and he's going to act. He's not going to settle for having his bank account go from 10 to 20, doubling. He's not going to settle for that. He's going to do every single thing he could to get back to that position he knows he could be. Everything. The other guy has a totally different mindset. The other guy just wants to have dinner that night. That's it. That's all he wants. You could be two people with the exact same set of skills, the exact same upbringing, the exact same everything. One guy says, I'm going to use it as an excuse, and he'll go from $10 to $20, and I accomplished something this year. Another guy says, I know what I could be. I could be amazing. I have so much. I've tasted it at moments in my life, and I'm not going to settle for just being a guy with $20 in my bank account. I'm not going to blame it on my upbringing. I'm not going to bring it on this. And by the way, most of us had amazing upbringing. I'm not going to blame it on anything. My roommate, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to look in the mirror instead of the window and say, what could I do to be great? Adam, Chava, Cain, this is what I believe their mistake is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to opening the Torah. Why does it come in the first parsha to say, I know that everything I'm going to put past this seems like a lot. And you will make mistakes, but don't let that hold you back. Don't let the situation or your limitations, even a guy in a wheelchair, don't let that hold you back. Make the best of your situation. Every single Jew has a portion in the next world. Your portion has nothing to do with my portion. It's all based off your own potential. Everything is based off your own potential. The more you put in, the more you get out. Someone can end over here, and someone can end over here, and this guy gets a lot more. Because his potential, he exceeded his potential. This guy could have raised the roof here, literally. But he didn't. So when something comes our way, we make a mistake, take responsibility. When we think we can live up a little bit more to what we're doing, take responsibility. Boys, we should all be zocha to start this new cycle and learn all the lessons from the Torah. Everyone have a fantastic night. Shoya.